Good morning. Are you well? Happy? Excited? Great to see some visitors. Welcome. And especially my mother-in-law. I have to honour her today. But great to have other friends from the Isle of Man and guests that are coming to be with us today down at the baptism. So it's going to be a great morning. So I wonder if you could just turn to John 10. And this morning I want to talk about abundant life and the life that God has for us as Christians. And this morning I'm hoping it's going to be a shorter message today because we do want to wrap up here quickly so that we can go down to Goring. So hopefully I will be able to wrap up a bit quicker than normal. So therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and you will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Isn't that just amazing? He doesn't want us just to have life and just to exist, but he says he wants us to have life, supernatural life, life and life to the full. So I want to talk a little bit about what does that mean? How can we align ourselves to God's plans so that we can live this extraordinary life of walking with God, every day being a journey, being an excitement. And in the time that I've become a Christian, I became a Christian when I was about 8 years old. So it's lovely to see and think of these guys that are going to be getting baptized this afternoon. Some of them are eight. But just so grateful for what God has given to me in faith and relationship. I remember my mum and dad saying to me, it's just a phase, you'll grow out of it. But I knew that God had done something in my heart because I was reaching. I was reaching for him. I knew that I needed forgiveness, even at 8 years old. I knew I needed a savior. It wasn't anything that anybody told me. It wasn't just a vague concept. I knew inside of me that that's what I needed, and I went for it. And I tell you, that is the most wonderful decision that I can ever make, that a person can ever make. And I'm sure we've all been there. But it's wonderful. What an amazing God that we serve, yes? He's so amazing, and he's made it possible not only for us just to live, but to have relationship with him. And when I think about who he is, and we've read some words there about who Jesus said he was, but we know that he is the creator God. And I'm so glad that, you know, as Christians, we don't need to think that we're just somehow morphed out of some green sludge in a puddle, that all of a sudden we're able to kind of just walk around and it's all just by chance. And I can't believe that. I think it takes more faith to believe that, don't you? I think so. More faith to believe that than that this whole thing is a coincidence than actually to believe that we are the product of a loving creator God. And I don't know if you've been looking, you probably can't miss it, but there's a lot in the news and the media about the Apollo missions, because I think it's the 50th anniversary of going to the moon. And so I've been looking at some of the pictures that are out there, and some things came to me that I didn't realize that I just wanted to share with you. But I was listening to a program about how some of the astronauts were really moved by the experiences that they saw, and how actually faith played such an important part in their lives. And I don't know if you know, but Buzz Aldrin was an elder, a Christian. Did anybody know that? One or two. Most people. Did you know that he took communion on the moon? So he took bread and wine, and he took that up to the moon. And when they landed on the moon, that was one of the first things that he did. He celebrated his faith by taking bread and wine. The first meal, the first ever food to be taken on the moon, was Buzz Aldrin celebrating his God, I was just like, wow, that's just awesome. How, and it's nothing that you, I've never heard that before. But they remember Jesus. Another astronaut was talking about that another few times later, they were going to do a broadcast from one of the rockets, and actually from the moon. It was going to be on Christmas Day, and it was going to be the biggest broadcast ever. Millions and millions and millions and millions of people were going to tune in for this broadcast. And they spent weeks and months before trying to work out how could they make this really special. What would they say? What would they do? What kind of thing could they do to really give it that real X factor when the cameras came on and they said it's Christmas Day and we're here on the moon. And they were going backwards and forwards. And then somebody just said, why don't you go back to the beginning? And there's a famous narration of them on the moon reading from Genesis, in the beginning God created. And they read a massive portion of Genesis. And they said it was just a monument. It was so basic, so simple. But there were people looking at the moon with this narration going from the word of God. Just bringing faith right into the middle of all of that complexity and all of that. And just awesome. Absolutely amazing. And just to finish with, another astronaut was talking about, and I've got a picture, maybe you can put the picture up. So this was one of the pictures that they took at one of the later Apollo missions. And this is one of the first images that were so far out that you could see the north and the southern poles, the North Pole and the South Pole. And this astronaut was saying, he said, I was so struck by looking at this image. He said, because when we were out in space, we were looking at all of these other planets, and they were gray, and some were white, and some were this, and some had... But he said, when you looked at the Earth, he said, there were clouds, and there was blue sea, and there was, you could see the brown of the Earth, and you could see the green. And he said, out of all of the planets, and in all of the vastness of space, he said, I realized that our planet is full of color and is full of life. And you know what? It just made me think, oh my God, what an amazing, awesome creator God that we worship. We are so privileged to live this life. And, you know, it just puts things into perspective, doesn't it? That's the world out in the vastness of space, and we're kind of just like little tiny beings just wandering around on there somewhere. But how great is our God? How amazing is our God? That's my God. That's the God that I worship. That's the God that has come to give me life, not only life, but life in abundance. There's nothing that he cannot do. There is nothing impossible for him. It is just an amazing privilege to serve him. And what a beautiful God. You know, I was just, look at this and just think, you know, God didn't create us just to have a functional life. Do you know that? I mean, he could have created a world that was just purely functional. You know, that we could just exist on. But he didn't. He made a world that is beautiful and perfect, and he put the stars in the sky for the beauty of it. How awesome is he? And when I think of that, I just get overwhelmed just by his power, his creativity, and that he doesn't just want us to exist. Does that make sense? I believe he's put us here upon this earth, in a world that is so beautiful, with such diversity, perfectly balanced. And he hasn't made it just functional, but he's made it so that we can live life to the full. And that's the life in abundance. You know, sometimes life can just seem like we're going through the motions, but God wants to inject that certain, and that's the life of the Spirit, into us, so that we can live this life in abundance, not just getting by, not just functioning, not just scraping through, not just about making it. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's him, isn't it? Because we can't make it happen. It's him. It's his life. It's his spirit. It's his activity in us. And it's amazing. When I think about God and I just think about how incredible he is, but he also revealed to us characteristics about who he is. And he said, I am. And that I am is a statement that talks about his character, his sovereignty, but expresses something about who he is right now, right at this minute. Jesus is saying, I am. Not that I will be, not that I may be, not that I might be, but I am. I am the God. Jesus made comments like this. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. I am the bread of life that comes to me. I am the bread of life, and he that comes to me shall never hunger. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine, and you are the branches. And then he goes on to say in John 10, I am the door. Thank God that we've got a door that we can go through. Into heaven, into new life, into relationship with him. I tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm going through that door. I want that. I need it. I am the door, and I am the good shepherd, and I come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Wow! Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, that you would take a nobody like me, fill me with your presence, give me something that I don't deserve, so that I can live a life, an extraordinary, spirit-filled, resurrection-powered life, so that I can live my life making a difference for the kingdom. That's what God's got for every single one of us, isn't it? Now, I want you to turn to Psalm 34, if you would. And I'm just going to look at a few points through Psalm 34. And I'm going to read from my son's Bible because I was looking through some Bibles today and I thought, I really like the NLT version. So I'm going to begin at verse 8. And now I'm looking up there and I'm looking down here. I'm looking up there, I'm looking down here. Which one am I going to read? Okay. You can follow it on there, but let me just read it quickly. I'm just going to quickly read it through. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes? Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people. For those who fear him will have all that they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Does anybody want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil, and he will erase their memory from the earth. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue each one. For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them is broken. Calamity will surely overtake the wicked, and those that hate the righteous will be punished. But the Lord will redeem those who serve him. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Who doesn't want to live a life that is blessed? Who doesn't want to live a life that is experiencing the joy and the wonder of relationship with God and just that sense of, yes, I am living life to the full? I think actually every single one of us wants to live like that. And actually that's the life that God has promised for each and every one of us to live. You know, sometimes though, I think often the problem is not with God, but the problem is with us. The problem is with me. Because often we settle for a life that is less than the abundant life. You just think, well, actually, no, this is my lot in life. This is, how it's going to go for me, and I can see how my life's going to map out, and I've done this and this and this, and this is just going to go, and then I'm going to retire, then I'm going to, and just blah, 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 blah. You know, the abundant life, sometimes it comes when we take a risk. Sometimes the abundant life doesn't just happen and come upon us. Sometimes that abundant life happens when we step out in faith. Sometimes that abundant life comes when we put ourselves in a position where we become uncomfortable. Sometimes that abundant life comes when we open up our homes and we invite people to come in. The homeless, the ones with problems, difficulties, not just the nice people that are coming to a conference and want to be hosted, but that's also fantastic as well. Having people in our homes, making relationships. Yeah, but I don't do that. Try and do it. Open up your homes. You know what? Something will happen when you step out and do something you've never done before. The abundant life. It's all part of, I've got relationships with people all over the world now because we've opened up our homes. And people have opened up their homes to us. It's amazing. But sometimes it's uncomfortable and, we might have to give up our beds or we might go on a mission trip. You understand what I'm... Are you understanding what I'm saying? Sometimes I think, yes, we think, yes, I'm a Christian and I'm going to live an abundant life and that's great. But sometimes from my experience, maybe my experience is different from yours, but sometimes, I've experienced abundant life when I have stepped out and I've said, God, this feels uncomfortable. I really don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm walking with you. And God always comes through, doesn't he? And so I want to encourage you, take those risks, take those steps, do those things, trust God for what he wants to do. And, God will come through and God will do a wonderful thing in through your life. So many people have the wrong idea about Christians. They think that it's boring coming to church, or that it's just legalistic, stiff, formal, boring. I mean, that's how people will look at us as the church. And do you know why? The reason that they think that we're like that is because often we're the advert. How was your weekend? Oh, it was all right. I mean, it was... What did you do? Well, not a lot. It's a bit of this, bit of that. Just, wow, what did you do? Yeah, I went to church. And I had an amazing time of encountering this wonderful living God. Okay, I mean, you understand sometimes, we are the advert, actually. We are the advert. So, I was thinking, when you're at school, when you go to school, they have a show and tell. Guys, I want to encourage you, show and tell. People around you, show them what it is to know Jesus. Give them the right impression of how it is to have relationship with God. We went to somewhere on Sunday where we're in a community and in there is joy and peace, belonging, forgiveness, the lack of fear, and we experience God's love. It's amazing. And you need it. Rather than just trying to change the subject and just going on to something else. Psalm 34, verse 12. It says about... I'll read it from here. It says, does anybody want to live this life? In other versions, it talks about loving life. Loving life is being different to being a pessimist. A pessimist is somebody that's always looking on the negative. Well, nothing ever goes right for me. I mean, things are going well at the moment, but sooner or later, something is going to go wrong. I mean, it's draining being with people like that. It's like, love life. Enjoy life. the opposite of being a pessimist. You know, hopefully this message, I'm trying to encourage you that if there are aspects of this that have been ingrained in you, you know, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can change, can't we? Our language can change from being complaining to being to be giving praise. You know, that is going to loose something of the abundant life. Because I think when we complain and we're miserable, and, you know, it limits God to what he can do. And actually, who wants to hang around with miserable people? I've got no friends. No wonder you've got no friends. Who wants to hang out with you? You understand what I'm saying? You know, I think our negativity sometimes has a massive impact upon actually what we allow and God to do in our lives. So, does anybody remember Peanuts, the cartoon? Yes, a few of the older ones. Yeah, okay. What's that? Oh, and Daniel as well. Okay, like that. Okay, how do we get this life? There was Lucy and Charlie Brown. They're talking together, and she says to Charlie Brown, "Life is a lot like a deck chair. Some people place it where they are going. Some people place it where they've been. And some people place it where they can see where they are at the present." And Charlie Brown sighs, and he says, "I can't even get mine unfolded." You know, it's we don't need to struggle to understand how to get the deck chair unfolded in terms of how can I have this abundant life. So I just want to look at a few points just to encourage us. So, of course, abundant life doesn't come from things, does it? It doesn't come from things, money, or status. And how many lottery winners have we heard about that have actually having that amount of money has ruined their life? We know the concept of that, although I know secretly we're thinking, well, I wouldn't mind myself. But actually, true happiness doesn't come from gaining things, because there's always the next model that someone's trying to sell you. And eventually everything dies and rots and goes into the ground anyway. Everything has a lifetime, doesn't it? But isn't that the wonder of walking with Jesus, that we never get bored, never get to the end, never get bored of experiencing him? It's wonderful. So anyway, the first thing I've put is that one of the secrets of abundant living is to serve God and to serve others. I think the most miserable people on the earth are those that are just self-absorbed. So, and we kind of think, what, serving others? Is that really good? But I tell you, why is that so important? Because it mirrors the heart and the character of who God is, that servant king that would come. And yes, serving others is a privilege. And it's what God actually tells us to do, that we should be those that are caring, serving, loving one another. If we serve Jesus, then we'll serve others. In serving others, that's how we can live an abundant life. Luke 6, 38 says, "Give and it will be given to you." I love these real faith scriptures. "Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, poured into your lap. For with the measure that you give," or you use, it says there, "it will be measured back to you." And Hebrews 6, "God is not unjust. He will not forget the work, your work, and the love that you've shown to him as you've helped his people and continue to help them." And whatever you do to the least of these, isn't that, that's a verse that I love. Whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me. So whatever we do, if our attitude is that I'm going to love this person, I'm going to support this person, I'm going to care for this person, because I'm going to do it as though it was Jesus, and actually I know that he sees it, and I'm going to receive a reward. Therefore, I'm going to do it with my whole might. I'm going to love that person to the best of my ability. And the reward is going to come back. Wow. Amazing. living the abundant life. God's got great rewards for those that lay their lives down for others because it reflects his heart and his behavior. Okay, so that's number one is abundant life, serve others. Number two is speak life over yourself and others. Your words are important. So let your words be seasoned with grace and life. I don't know about you, but I love to hang around with positive people. I love to hang around with fun people. And actually, you can tell what is inside of a person. You don't have to be a great prophet. You just have to hang around with them for a little while, and then sooner or later, they won't be able to contain it. Sooner or later, what is inside is going to come out. And if it is faith and encouragement and blessing, or if there's something in there that is not so good, it's gonna come out. I don't think James 3 is on there, but James 3, 2 to 12, you don't need to put it up there, talks about how we can tame this thing in our mouth that actually is a very, very powerful element to our lives, how we can train our tongues. And in James 3, verse 13, it talks about how actually we can show godly wisdom to others. We can reveal God through our behavior and through our language and through our speak. Do you understand that when you're hanging around with guys that, in your workplace or wherever you are, that people know that you're a Christian? But if they don't know, then they need to know. But people actually are listening to what we're saying and watching what we're doing. So let our words bring life. It's so important. It's so, so important to do that. If you want to enjoy the fullness of life, speak life. Speak blessing. Speak blessing and expect God's blessing on your life. You know, as Christians, we live in the favor of God. Do you know that? There is favor of God upon you because the Spirit of God lives in you. You're a child of God. It's an amazing privilege. You're not just kind of just, you know, going through life, just Mr. or Mrs. Joe average. There is favor upon your life. So speak it. Speak blessing and speak life over other people and speak it over yourself as well. And, you know, as I said before, if you speak negatively and you always complain, okay, sometimes we go through difficulties, and I know that. That's life has a habit of doing that. Okay, but if we're always doing it, if it's become a pattern, a thing that we just do every day, it's part of who we are, you know, we're going to limit God to what he can do. Because nothing ever happens to me. What's going to happen to you? Nothing. It's an attitude, isn't it, of faith and expectancy and, wow, actually I'm going to go and make a difference for the kingdom of God today. Not because I'm anything, not because I'm special, but because he is and he's in me. Therefore, I'm going to go out and I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to lay hands on someone. I'm going to pray with someone. I'm going to speak to someone. And there's going to be somehow a transferring of the blessing of God from me to those people. And I want to be a blessing. That's how I want to live. Great to live like that, isn't it? Then, well, everything's a problem. Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, so that it may benefit those that listen. So let's not limit God. A story. On his first day in a job, a new shop assistant was in a supermarket and he was in the fruit and veg area. And a lady came up to him and said that she wanted to buy half a lettuce. He tried to dissuade her from that goal, but she persisted. And so finally, he said, I'll go back and talk to the manager. He went to the rear of the shop to talk to the manager, not noticing that the woman was walking right behind him. When he got to the back of the shop, he said, and saw the manager, he said, there is some silly old bag that wants to buy half a lettuce. What should I tell her? Seeing the horrified look on the face of the manager, he turned round and saw that the woman was behind him. Very quickly, he said, and this nice lady would like to buy the other half. Would that be all right? Oh, that's quick thinking, isn't it? That really is. So, do you want to have a hard day or a bad day? Be negative. Words have power. So come on, guys. Speak blessing, forgiveness, peace, strength, love all over your life and others. Keep this under control. Okay, just quickly then. Thirdly, make right choices. And in Psalm 34, verse 14, it says that there's a connection between loving life and choosing to turn away from evil and making right decisions. And I think sometimes, there are times in our lives where we need to take stock of what we're doing, why we're behaving like we are, and saying, God, would you please, like a MOT, what's going on in my life? Lord, would you please deal with any issues, any negativity, any stuff that's just causing me to view the world differently or to behave differently. Things that maybe have gone on in our lives that, or maybe unforgiveness or areas that have just, things that have happened to us that have caused us to live out our lives in a way that is less than God has for us. Philippians 2 verse 14, and I remember this as I was coming out of NatWest after a very frustrating time in the bank, and walking down the street muttering to myself, these people, and I was like, and then this verse came to mind: do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked, depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. So actually, all of us can be tempted to be negative, can't we? But it says, do everything without complaining. Don't be negative. Do everything. Don't, you know, let what comes out of here be life-giving. And when we do that, you know, we enter into that. Wow, actually, life is good. Life is wonderful. Actually, I'm going to choose faith. I'm going to choose God. I'm going to choose his perspective rather than mine. Actually, it can just be that simple. A change in attitude and in heart. Life in abundance isn't just what we get, but we can position ourselves for the blessing of God. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, because I think sometimes we just think, well, I'm a Christian and I'm just going to end. And there is a sense that you're a Christian, and yes, you're a child of God. But there are things that we can do to position ourselves to be in that place of abundant life, of actually letting God use us to more and more and more degree, and us experiencing that wonderful joy. If we want real amazing life that God offers, then we have to align ourselves with God's heart and attitude, be faith-filled, and choose to run away from sin. Because we all know, don't we, how sin can just be there as a niggling thing in the back of our minds that just doesn't give us confidence to approach God. Until we deal with that thing, and then suddenly we're like, wow, I can come now, just as the Bible says, I can approach God. But sometimes if we just leave things and we don't deal with stuff, it just is nagging away and eats away at us. And that isn't what God's got for us. The problem is not with God. Sometimes actually we don't man up, face up, deal with the issues. But What an amazing God that he is, that when we come to him, he receives us and accepts us. So Psalm 34, verse 15 and 16 backs this up. He said, God's blessing comes to those who choose righteousness, but he is going to be working against those that choose to sin. And it talks about God setting his face against us. Everyone can go, ouch. That's not good. When it says that actually when we choose not to do away with unrighteousness, that actually God turns his face away. What does that mean? It means that God is glaring and staring at you because you aren't doing what he wants. It's almost like, I can't believe it. What are you doing? That's a heartbreaking thing, isn't it? For when it says, talks about God turning his face away from us because of our disobedience. But how easy is it that when we come and just say, God, I'm so sorry. Please would you wash me, cleanse me, fill me again. I want that life that I know you've got for me. He's not like us when he comes back and just makes us feel bad and guilty. Is immediate forgiveness, immediate restoration. That's what God has for us. It's incredible. Okay. I know that we're not always going to do things right, that we're going to sometimes get things wrong, and that's the struggle that we all have. But the only way that we're going to be able to turn from good to evil, no, evil to good. Thank you, my wife's Latin. The only way, you know what I mean anyway, don't you? It's just, I know, but it's like, oh no, that the preacher on Sunday was encouraging us to be evil. The only way that we're going to turn from being evil or, you know, being in that place of unrighteous to righteous is him. It's, we can't do it on our own. It all comes back to him. He's the only one that can give us victory over sin and over the sinful stuff that each and every single one of us do. So it's just pressing into him more, isn't it? More reliance upon him. More giving up of ourselves and just more obedience to him. More handing our life over to him and just saying, God, have your way. It's more of him that is actually going to do the work in our lives. It's Jesus. He's our only hope. He is our only hope. Okay, just going to draw just one more thing and then I'm just going to draw it to a close. Psalm 34 verse 14 says, turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Do you want to live an abundant life? Seek out peace. Wow. Seek peace. Pursue it. Run after it. Seek it out. Desire it. You know, Matthew 5 verse 9 says, it says, don't worry, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that strive for peace, who try to get other people to live peaceably and who talk about what it is to find peace with God. You know, if you want to live an abundant life, sow seeds of peace. Sow seeds of life. You know, when you sow seeds of peace, you're going to reap a harvest of righteousness. It's an amazing way to live. If you want to live righteously, plant those seeds of peace. Okay. So I'm just going to, my heart today is just to encourage you. Is there something in your life, you know, that is maybe niggling away with you, at you? Don't just let it be and just settle for it. That isn't God's plan for you. It's not God's heart for you. He has a heart that you're going to live an abundant life. Life and life in abundance. He wants to set his people free. He wants us to live in that place of total freedom, but actually dependence upon him. So the challenge is, how are we going to live? What attitude are we going to adopt? How can we position ourselves for abundant life? And I'll just finish with a couple of scriptures. 1 Peter 3 talks about husbands, if you want your prayers answered, and all the wives are going, yes. If you want your prayers answered, love your wives. Care for them. Honor them. Yes. Be considerate. Respect your wives so that God will hear your prayers. Yeah, but God always hears my prayers. There are ways that actually we can align ourselves to God's plan and purpose where that abundant life and blessing can flow. Verse 9 of 1 Peter 3 says, bless those who curse you so you will inherit a blessing. Who wants to be blessed? Anybody? No, one or two. The way of the world is you hit me, I hit you back double. We know it, don't we? Bless those who curse you so that you can receive a blessing. Live differently. You know what you're doing? You're shining like stars. I'm going to respond differently because I have a different heart and nature inside of me. And I don't just want to know the theory, I want to live it. Because I want to give glory to God. If you want to enjoy life, choose righteousness. And turn away from evil and go after the best that God has for you. 1 Peter 3 verse 11. Don't make God turn his face upon you because of your actions and your attitudes. And actually, at the end of the day, it's very, very simple. I really believe that God has an amazing life for us to experience. Not just for us to exist, but for us to experience the fullness of relationship with him. And the blessing, and the blessing, and the blessing, and the blessing, and the blessing of what it is to know him and to step out. But remember, sometimes the blessing comes when we take a faith step. Are you ready to do that? Yeah, you see, that's where the excitement comes. Where we take a risk. Well, it's not a risk though, actually, is it? With God. Okay. Maybe we could just all stand together. I'd just like just to take just a few moments for us just to respond. If there's anything, you know, the Holy Spirit has an amazing way of ministering and just touching lives and just highlighting something. And it might not have even been anything that I've spoken about here. But the Holy Spirit has an amazing way of just saying, actually, there's that thing, or there's this. Or, yeah, actually, I've been existing. I haven't really been living life in that area. Or there's that thing that's just been holding me back. Maybe we could just close our eyes. Maybe there's things that you just, right now, just as we're standing before God, that we need to repent of. Or maybe there's something that God's been challenging with us about stepping out and doing something different and you've been resisting, and maybe just the Holy Spirit is just reminding you today, come with me, my child. Let's step out and step forward together. Maybe God's just going to lead you into something new that you've never done before. Or maybe you've been held back, or you've been holding others back by just the way that you've been speaking and the things that you've been confessing. Maybe you've not taken into account just how powerful the words are that we speak. God's just encouraging you this morning not to put limitations on yourself and not put limitations on what he can do. And to speak life, speak health, speak blessing, speak freedom over yourself, over your kids, over your family, over your situation. That your situation will change, that things can get better. That the life and the power of God will be experienced in your marriage. That your kids will come to faith. And just believe and trust and hold out for God's best. Father, just as we are here this morning, we want to say, Lord, would you do a work in us? Thank you that, Lord, you created the heavens and the earth. And your word says that the earth is like a footstool to you. Lord, we're just amazed and in awe of who you are, of your power, your creativity, your love, your goodness, and all of that brought the world into being. Lord, you, Father, have released, Lord, into our lives through the Spirit and the power of your Holy Spirit. And I thank you that we lack nothing, and it's an amazing life. Lord, would you just pour out, God, your blessing upon each of these precious people. Lord, touch areas, Lord God, that need, Lord, to be brought alive again. And I pray, Father, you'd give us, Lord, the power, the strength, Lord, to make the changes, Lord, that you need us to. Lord, we want to enter into this abundant life and not, Lord, in any way live in a way that is less than you have planned for us.